Unlocking potential, one dream at a time, on the CJ Moneyway Show.
Sit back and relax. You're listening to the Moneyway Show.
What's up, my good people? Can you imagine a world where every person you meet has an extraordinary story to tell? Well, welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show, the podcast that brings those stories right to your ears. And I'm your host, CJ Moneyway. And I'm on a mission to discover the extraordinary in everyday life. You'll hear heartfelt, real-life stories from individuals who have formed their own path, shattered stereotypes, and transformed their personal challenges into becoming a driving force for positive change. On the CJ Moneyway Show, we dive into the cultural issues and celebrate the uniqueness of diverse communities. But that's not all. Join us as we journey into the realm of self-help, personal growth, engaging with experts and everyday heroes alike to inspire, enlighten, and entertain. Get ready to be moved, to be inspired, and to discover the untold stories that surround us every day. This is the CJ Moneyway Show, unveiling the extraordinary within the ordinary. So what you waiting for? Dive in, join us, and become part of our community of storytellers, and welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
God had inspired you to get up off the floor to write this book that you got out right now, you know. So I just wanted to touch bases with you, you know, to tell the people, give us an insight of how was you inspired, or what was it actually that God inspired you to do to write this book?
All right. First of all, thank you for having me, CJ. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And so essentially when I graduated from college, I got married, I had kids, two children, and I worked in the fashion retail world as an assistant buyer and went through that. I did that for 15 years. And when I had my first son, I found out I had an eye disease called Stargardt's eye disease. And basically what that is it is a retina eye disease that attacks your central vision, right? And so when I got diagnosed, the doctor told me, well, actually, he gave me like a Sherlock Holmes, like magnifier, and was like, it's probably a good idea for you to learn Braille. Now, at that time, I could still see, but like I was noticing things were getting distorted, like with my vision. And I thought it was just my, after having, you know, a child, but that's when I found out I had the disease. So anyway, long story short, as time progressed, so did my eye disease. And I went with a different doctor, okay?
Yeah, always good second opinion.
And then when he handed me that, you know, Sherlock Holmes magnifier, and, you know, it was just basically like going on your way, I was like, okay, hold on, time out. You know, I wanted to do some research. I wanted to find out, like, hey, is there a surgery? Can I get some eyeballs? You know, at the time I was making good money. So I was like, hey, I can buy some new eyes. I mean, tell me what I need to do. But there are certain things that money just can't buy. And with that disease, because it is a macular, what is a juvenile form of macular degeneration, there is no cure. It's very rare, right? So there was no money. There's nothing that I could do in order to change my situation at that time. I just, you know, knew. And the way the disease works is the central part, so whatever you're looking at, starts to disappear. Your peripheral stays intact, and it leads to legal blindness, and that's where I am right now.
Okay.
So in the process of that, CJ, as I was losing my vision, you know, I woke up, couldn't read my text messages. And then after that, I called my specialist, took off 12 weeks of work, and did some occupational therapy to learn how to see again. Went back to work. And when I say learn how to see, I'm talking with devices. Okay. So with magnification, you know, with the new eyes that I have, I had to really start over as far as just, you know, how to see things in a way that I can still maintain my independence and using this technology in order to be able to maneuver through my life. And so anyway, after that, I went back to work inspired, ready to rock and roll. And with me going back to work, I had like big screens. You know, I told you I had all these devices. I had been working for 15 years in a corporate environment. And this was prior to COVID. And so I had, you know, stipulations or hours that I could work and things like that. And long story short, I ended up leaving the job, and it was not necessarily by my choice. And so after that happened and I went on disability, that took me to the floor. It was a, I call it my season of loss, because I had lost my central vision. I went back inspired to go to work. And when I went there, I have an invisible disability. So it's one of those things that people can't really see, right? Even though it's there for me. And so when I would come in looking like, you know, this and like ready to rock and roll, even though I couldn't see, you know, really what was in front of me, it was like I couldn't get my coworkers to understand that, no, you know, what I have is a real disability. And when I was in meetings trying to present things, you know, they would say, oh, hurry up, hurry up. You know, and so they made me feel, or that made me feel incompetent. And so I started to lose myself. And anytime you lose yourself and your core, then it takes you to the closet. That's where I went first. It takes you to the bed. You know, that's depression. And that's what took me down. So anyway, once I got down there on the floor, I was hearing things. Like, hey, you had a lot that you have done in your life. You've accomplished a lot. You made the six figures by the time you were 30. You have the children and you have your husband and you've had these things. And maybe this is the end for you, right? But then I heard, get up. And it was loud and clear. And it was just like, I just got up. And so when I got up, I looked in the mirror and I had dirt stains, you know, from being on the floor. All that, because you don't clean when you depressed, you know. So I was on the dirty floor and in the bathroom, and so I didn't recognize myself. But when I heard that get up, I got in the shower, I started just cleaning myself, crying, and I was like, God, just tell me what to do so that I will never get on the floor again, because being down there, it is a horrible place to be, and I don't wish that on nobody, right? So I said, God, tell me what I need to do so that I don't get on that floor, and I will help as many people as I can to not get on that floor. And God said, write a book.
Inspiration.
And so just like you just said, I said, okay. Didn't know nothing about writing a book. But I heard God say, write a book, right? So I said, okay. So I went, and I told you I'm legally blind. So I had this screen about this big. I had two words on there. And so I said, all right, so what I'm going to do now, you know? And I started hearing all these different, you know, characters. They start coming to life in my brain. I got a little discouraged for a second, because I was thinking I needed to write Christian literature, but that's not what was calling me, right? The characters that were talking to me were criminals. And so I was like, all right, well, okay. And so I got a little scared at first. And I turned on the radio, and you know who was playing? Beyonce. And it was the song Black Parade. Like, I'm going back to the style. I'm going back, back. And that's what I was about to write about, a queen in Africa. And I was like, that's God telling me to keep going, right? It's like, hey, just keep going. And I didn't realize it was Juneteenth. And so that's what made me even feel like this, the ancestors telling me. So it's God using the ancestors, using Beyonce, using all of these things, telling me to do what God told me to do, which was to write a book. And that was 3 years ago. And now I'm a published author.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your journey took a little, it took less time than mine. My writing book journey, it was 2001, 15 years, 14 years.
Amen.
Before I, you know, thank God. So like the process as being a writer and things of that nature, I know that we go through, it's called writer's block. And so did you experience any of that as you was, you know, saying, going through this book? You know, there's a lot of times when we sit back
and you meditate about things. You know, you put things together. You're not actually writing, but you're actually thinking about certain things, concepts, you know. So how was that as far as the writing process when you came up with the characters and things of that nature that inspired you to actually dive into it the way that you did?
Okay. I love that question. So basically, it just started with me first trying to figure out, like, who am I, right? So I started with that question, and that's why I was telling you I started, kept going back. I kept going back different generations.
Okay.
And once it was, you know, I realized it was Juneteenth, 2020. It was in the middle of COVID. I started writing my first book. And by the time Black Pearl came, which was in December of 2020, so I started writing June 2020, okay, Juneteenth. By the time December of 2020, the same year came, I had written four novels.
Whoa, okay.
So when I tell you, I didn't stop. It's like once I heard that song and I felt something take over me, I just started writing, so I wrote my first book. And I told my husband, I said, just give me a year. Let me see where this goes, right? And so after I finished the first book in about a month, he was like, I got to keep going. I was like, it's another story, you know, because a character has spun off, and I had to write that story. And so there was a time, I mean, for that whole time, I just, all I did was write. And as I said, it was during COVID, so, you know, we was locked in.
Yeah.
So because we was locked in, that gave me an opportunity to just stick with it. And when I had my first book completed, I was like, I told you I know how to write. I did not.
Yeah.
I did not. Okay. So I saw, but I started Googling, like, what do I do once you do this, you know? And so a woman had recommended to me, like, okay, I kind of feel where you're going, but you need a writing coach because you don't understand the concept. This is a craft, you know. So around, it was November, that's when and Black Pearl resurrected, and I hired a writing coach, and he happened to be a, like, I keep saying we were on lockdown, but that's important because I was pretty much his only person he was working with at that time. And so he is a professor. He was a professor for 30 years. So he was a teacher by nature. And so because, and I'm a student, I've always been an eager student and a fast learner. And so I was so hungry when he was telling me, you know, this, you do it this way, this is how you do it. And I'm talking about just the craft and the con, how to do, you know, a basics paragraph, how to, you know, put thoughts together. A scene is a beginning, middle, end. So once he taught me that, it took me 2 months to finish Black Pearl. I was done in December of that year. And by that following April, I was signing my first contract with my literary agent. And I had my first book deal by Juneteenth that next year.
Sit back and relax. You're listening to The Money Way Show.
Okay, that's what's up. So you saying that you learned the concept, you know what I'm saying, of how to write.
I learned. I started just reading books about the craft. I started researching the craft of writing. I looked up just for some of my future fiction or my some of the writers right now. William Shun, it's a format that you have to have a manuscript when you're presenting. If you want to go the publishing route, you need to have a certain format of your manuscript. And so I looked that up so that I can understand what it's supposed to look like. It's kind of like your resume. I needed to be able to present myself professionally in this world. And so my writing coach helped me, but I also, because, you know, he was charging coins that I didn't have. You know what I mean? So I had to use the University of YouTube and Google and was looking things up. And, you know, and then I was sending it to him. Is this right? You know, and I just did all I could to read and learn in that time. And yeah, and that's why I say it was God. So to answer your question, I'm sorry. I haven't experienced a writer's block. I just write, and if I don't have, I write. I spend every day, I write something, right? Even if it's a couple sentences or it might be a poem or something like that, but I try to stay consistent with my writing time and I may not write a full scene. I've written a screenplay for Black Pearl as well.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I just learn. I'm reading and I'm writing every day.
You know, that what you just said, you said you wrote a screenplay, which, let's go back. Well, you talk about the writing.
Because
when I got my book published, you know, like you said, it was by God. It was God because it was a guy that I went to church with, and he does graphic designs. This guy had wrote an article of him in a newspaper, and he owned a publishing company. And so he showed him my manuscript, and the guy, he took it right away because he liked it. He like, woo, you know, people can get something from this. And so, you know, just like how the guy told you when he got my manuscript, he said, you are not a writer, and because I write as I talk. You know what I'm saying? I write as I talk, but that's not the format. You know, so when you were saying that, I'm like, that was the same thing that the guy told me, because I write as I talk, but that's not how you know, saying you write a book. It's different. Right. It's a different format. It's a different way that you got to end this, or you say this, or whatnot. But I still write as I talk.
That's all right.
I haven't learned the concept like you, but you know, it's a journey. And
absolutely.
Especially when, go ahead.
And you're published.
Oh, yeah. Like I tell my wife, I got a running joke with my wife and some people that I run into. I say, you can go Google me.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can Google me. I'm just not known on Facebook or whatever. You can Google me.
Let them know. So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. That's why I tell people, especially when it comes to art, you have to do what's coming from here.
Yeah.
So the way one person do it, you don't have to do it the way that they do it. And that's what I learned with my writing, too. It was like, okay, there's certain genres and there are certain rules that you're supposed to abide by. But also, art is supposed to be free-flowing and creative, right? So it's finding that balance and what works for you. So, amen, you know, that you're published. And like you said, you know, you have this platform to help other artists. So God is with you.
Hey, and I thank God. You know, you said something earlier that I think it was the end of the beginning of, and you said God spoke to you.
Yeah.
And you heard him tell you to write a book, you know.
Yeah.
And you can hear it clear as day. Because I've been working on something, and it was actually about the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree and this and that. And so I saw something in there, and it says that, and the voice of God was walking in the cool of day in the garden. And that kind of struck me because just as you said, when you hear the voice of God, you know what I'm saying? That's because you had a relationship with God, you know? And so when the voice is walking up on you, you can hear it just like they understood because they had a relationship. And so sometimes when you don't, you know, the voice of God can walk up on us. But if you don't know the voice, if you don't know what he's saying or know who he is, it'll just go right past you.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy, CJ Moneyway. I appreciate you rocking with the Moneyway Show. Hey, if you listen to me on Spotify, Apple, Buzzsprout, whatever platform that you may be listening to the Moneyway Show on, why don't you drop your boy a review, share it with your friends, you know, anything and everything. All support is appreciated. The Moneyway love you guys. I appreciate you rocking with me. Follow me on my YouTube channel. All my platforms, man, social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, hit me up. All my links are in the show notes. Hey, I appreciate you guys for rocking with your boy. Be on the lookout for some things coming up that I got coming up pretty soon. I'll tune you into it a little later. Peace.
Ooh! You had a priest today.
No, wait. No, I'm just saying, though, you know, so it's that.
Absolutely.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? So my question is like, because the Bible says that train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they depart, when they get old, they won't depart from it. And so was it somebody in your family, you know, your mother, grandmother, somebody in that nature that was praying and that God answered your prayer? Because listening to all the things that you went through. and all the things that you overcame to be here today and telling your story and out here doing things in the world, you know what I'm saying? It's very inspiring. And so who was it, that one person that you can just go back and say, it was their prayers that got me through everything that I'm going through? Because I can say it was my mother.
That is such a powerful question. I will tell you this. It is a combination. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my mother left me when I was six. And I did not have a father. I was raised by my grandparents.
Okay.
My grandmother, her name is Tara, so I'm named after her. Okay. My grandfather, his name is Thomas. And as far as my roots, is the combination of the two of them. My grandmother, before she passed, I asked her because she was a nurse. And she knew, both of them knew I was in the arts. So just so you know, I went into business and did all that. But I've always been kind of an artsy child.
Okay.
And I've always been a little hustler. You know, I draw pictures.
Every day I'm hustling.
You know, I told you I sell my books right now out of my trunk. Back in the day, I used to draw pictures and put them in a little folder. And I used to walk around the neighborhood and sell my pictures for like 5 cents, 25 cents. That's how I used to buy Barbie dolls, Barbie clothes. And then I turned my room into a museum. And then my brother was like, who is this? And I would put, have people come in and buy pictures for, you know, 25, 50 cents, a dollar off my wall.
Okay.
So they knew I had this artsy side of me, but they always told me that it was a hobby.
Okay.
So that's one thing. But my grandfather still always, he had me listen. He said, if you want to know how to do things, you always, you know, find it in a book. And so he did not have a formal education that took him beyond middle school. But he was one of the most intelligent people I knew. So he always instilled in me about making sure that you watch the people, you know, before you and learn from them. And anything you want to know, you can find it in a book. That's something my granddaddy told me. My grandmother told me before she passed away, even though she was a nurse, I said, well, if it was something that you could do, and this before I even thought about being a writer, I said, what would you, you know, if it was something you could have done, what would that have been? And she said she would have been a writer. Right? And so that, I feel like this spirit, both of them are no longer with me, but they're moving through me. But as far as my relationship with God, I have to give that to my Auntie Shirley. My Auntie Shirley lived down the street from me, and she used to pick me up from church. Pick me up to take me with her, my uncle, and my three cousins, Shara, Siobhan, and Sean. We used to go to church almost every Sunday, and they would pick me up. And I would ride with them to go to church. And I got saved at the age of 9. So I believe that being saved, and I still remember what it feels like to accept Jesus into my life and then also to be baptized at the age of 9. I remember all of that. And that's what I attribute, you know, as far as my foundation with Christ and my relationship with God started at a young age. And that's what helped me get through a lot of the things I had been through, like, you know, my mother coming and going, you know, throughout my life, not having a father and those type of things, and then my vision loss, all the things I have been through, just like you said. So thank you for asking me that, because if it wasn't for God and my relationship that I had built and the foundation that my aunt, in combination with also my grandparents, but, you know, going to church and getting that foundation with my extended family, it was all extended family that helped shape me into the woman I am today.
You're listening to the CJ Moneyway Show with my man CJ Moneyway. Tune in every other Friday to one of the hottest podcasts in the Midwest, where you can hear exciting episodes and up-and-coming artists like myself, even aspiring authors, entrepreneurs, and the everyday man and woman right here on the CJ Moneyway Show.
That's good. Hey, amen. Yeah, you know, in life, we go through things, and especially we question a lot of things. Why am I going through this, you know? And so I've learned something from the story of Joseph, that even sometimes when you in some places that you don't want to be, or that you feel like you don't deserve, like, you know, probably going through your situation, being successful, going to school, doing things right, you know, said doing things the right way, believing in you, Lord, this and that. We start doubting, you know what I'm saying? Start having questions. I mean, that's just, it's natural. But I get inspiration from the story of Joseph talking about being down on the floor when he was in the prison. And he told them that, he said, look, I don't deserve to be here. You know, he didn't want to be there. But then I realized that in certain things, in certain places that God has to take us in order to get us to where we will fully understand him. You know, or there's some things that he have to remove from us that we might think that we okay, but we got to have a down period. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes some of us have to go through things more strenuous than other people in order for God to get our full attention. You see what I'm saying? But there's some things that we have that he has to deal with us with. But thank God that he didn't throw us away or let us go and just die. You know what I'm saying? Where we was at. You know, we went through some stuff, as you say, you alluded to. You went through some things, but God is still keeping you here. He's still moving you on, being successful, having you a support system. And so with that being said, is it any other endeavors that you're dibbling and dabbling in nowadays?
So, of course, you know, I have my baby Black Pearl that's out. I have my second book. It's called Empress Creed. It's like a prequel, I would say, to this, but it takes place in the 1930s. There's some Gary in there, some Southside Chicago that's somewhat inspired by some of the stories that my grandparents used to tell me, but it's where the Savage family actually started. That comes out in February of 2025.
Okay, look forward to it.
Yes, and I'm in the process of really trying to turn Black Pearl. One of my goals is to get it into a film.
Okay.
I had an offer already, but they wanted my film rights. And so at that time, I was not interested in that. Mm-hmm. And so I turned that down, you know. So it's kind of like what you said at this point. And I told God, I said, God, you ain't got to get my attention no more like that. You know, so as things happen, because everything you're saying is like dead on, you know, because at one point I was chasing a dollar. I was doing all of those things. But now I accept things as they come, you know, as part of my meditation. If something's not for me, if something doesn't feel right, you know, I'm on disability. I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when I got offered a deal to turn Black Pearl into a film, I still turned it down because my spirit didn't tell me that was the right thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
Right. So me going to the ground really humbled me and then allowed me to be able to, you know, take my time as I make decisions and pray before I move, right? And so one of the moves that I do want to pursue is turning it into a film. And I went back to acting school 2 years ago, and I am in the process of auditioning mostly for commercial work, which is great for me right now because my passion is in creating and art in general. And so as I'm touching all these different places and getting all these different experiences, I feel deep in my soul that it's going to lead to something even bigger. Because it's like I got a little bit of this going, a little bit of that. But right now, you know, I'm pushing Black Pearl, as you know, we talked about. I'm selling books out my trunk. I'm selling books wherever you can buy books. You can buy Black Pearl, but I'm trying to get it out there. And most importantly, I'm trying to get my story out there because, as I told you, you know, and I said earlier on, as we began talking, that my goal in this life is to make sure that someone can hear my voice and to hear the things I've been through and to hear that I've been on the ground where I felt dirty, you know, and still didn't feel like I was low enough at that point. And I was able to still rise above. And then whatever that get up was so clear. And I thought only pastors was able to hear God's voice at that time. You know, because I used to hear pastors say, I heard God. I hadn't heard God before until then when I heard him say, get up. Then I heard him say, write a book. So I want people to know that he talks to all of us. Yeah. It's not just reserved for a few. It's for all of us. And so because I'm able to do that, and I'm, you know, as long as I can do that first and make sure that's at my foundation, then everything else is just added on, you know. It's just, and so I just thank God for, you know, it all, to be honest, because it helps my stories, right? Even me losing my vision. my central vision, because I want to be clear, I can still see in my peripheral. It's just where I can't see what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. It then heightened some of my senses. Mm. So I actually smell things different. You know, things feel different to me. I hear things differently when I'm outside walking. I pay attention to the birds. So all of that helps my writing.
Oh, okay. So
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I said God know what he's doing. It helps my acting. It helps me build my screenplay writing, because then I'm honing in on these senses. I'm using my imagination, filling in some of the gaps sometimes and doing things. And, you know, my mind is going to different places. Mm-hmm. And if I was seeing things the way that I used to see things at that time, to be real, I was just seeing the money.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody tell you, you know, and the little hustler in me is still there.
Yeah. Yeah, some things don't change.
She's still there. Yeah. I was at the restaurant yesterday at brunch. Like, you know, I'm a writer. I got books in my trunk. You know, so I was boxing up books, selling books at brunch yesterday. You know, but the foundation of everything I do, it starts with God. And I will say, not that that wasn't the case, because God's always been present, mm-hmm. but making sure that I don't make a move until I pray on it first and meditate, as you had said, on it first.
Like you say, well, one thing you said earlier, you alluded to it, but it's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things that we're looking for, it said, will be added unto us. You know, but a lot of times, you know, we want to get the things and then seek God. Now, we out of order, you know what I'm saying? We'll put it like that. But then you said something too, and I hope you listen to this podcast when I put it out. I got a friend that I'm going to do a podcast with, and the subject title was Transitioning.
Mm.
I listened to T.D. Jakes, and I was listening to Keon Henderson, and they was talking about this transitioning, and I'm listening to you, and I was, you know, it kind of reminded me of that, because when you're steadily doing things, you know what I'm saying, you're transitioning. And T.D. Jakes says something to the point where when you're transitioning, you got to have pockets to put certain things at. So like, you know, with your black pearl, you know, it's a pocket for that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then it's a pocket over here for the film edit. And then it's a pocket for the second book. So you got to have pockets because you're always transitioning. And so I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I kind of thought about it. I say that if I'm not always transitioning and with different thoughts, you know what I'm saying, different things, then if I had that one thought, everything that I got will go into that. Mm-hmm. And so some things may not fit in certain pockets, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, so I'm listening to you, and so I'm listening to all these different pockets that you have. And God bless you. And I pray that everything that you desire, everything that you desire in your heart, that God will grant it for you.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you, CJ. You blessing me right now. I'm like, you better bring it all the way back, because you bringing everything back to the scripture. I'm talking, you know.
Uh-huh.
You bringing it all back. So I appreciate you. You are blessing me. Thank you so much. Reaching out. And I just love how God put us in contact. And it took nothing. We just started.
Yeah.
You know. Because we got the same goal in mind. We here to inspire others, and we doing it for the culture.
We doing it for the culture. Hey, G.I. born and raised, y'all.
Amen.
Hey, so, anytime you want to come on the Money Way Show, feel welcome. You know, if you know anybody else that, you know, got a story to tell or want to do anything, promote the Money Way Show, it's a platform for everybody. I appreciate you coming. Hey, hold on for a while so I can talk to you for a minute.
And anything else? Available anywhere where you buy books. You can get it on Amazon, your local independents, and also my website is www.terrencemarie.com.
You've been listening to the Money Way Show. I hope you enjoyed this show today. Hey, I'm your host, CJ Money Way.
be loyal to the friends, but then they disrespectful to women. Or they may be some, but they're not really smart. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to create, you know, my main Black male characters always have those things. They love the women in their, and respect the women in their lives. They're loyal and they're smart, regardless of where they come from. And so, you know, even though Pearl is the main character, I also speak through the voice of Black as well. And so, you know, hopefully you'll enjoy. It's in the 90s, so I heard you say you were 90s, you're a 90s baby too. So
yeah.
You know, became a man in the 90s. That's how I became. That's how I look at that 90s as when I became, you know, into womanhood. And so I love the 90s. So you'll get a lot of references of that in Black Pearl too, because it's set in the 90s.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, I'm finna order it right now before I forget and show my support.
I'm gonna order your book too, because yours on Amazon, did you say?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
What's the name of it again?
Both Eyes Open and Both Eyes Shut.
Ooh, that's powerful. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a title.
Yeah, because, you know, like you say, if anybody, you know, people used to ask you all the time, like, what do that represent? What do it mean? And I always remember what my father used to say. He used to say, if I knew then what I know now, you know what I'm saying? Things would be different. And so the Holy Spirit was dealing with me with that, a lot of times we have our eyes shut to what we need to see and got them open to the things that we probably can let go.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at the world today, you look at society today with all the stuff that's going on, we're walking around with our eyes shut. Even the Bible it equates to that. You say, you know, we walk around with our ears shut and our eyes shut, not seeing the things of God, but, you know what I'm saying, but do indulging in things that really don't matter.
Hey, you heard me say I lost my vision, my central vision. So when I lost that, it opened my ears and other things that I didn't even think about, you know, that I wasn't even paying attention to.
That's why
I was focused on the one thing, you know. So absolutely, that's why I said that's powerful. That title resonates for someone like me, you know, because I definitely approach things now with both my eyes appear to be shut. But my kids be like, how you see that? Because I can hear. You know, I can smell them coming. Hey. You know, I can read your body language. You lying. Like, I ain't even saying that. You know, I ain't even got to see your face. I can see your body. It's crooked. You know, I can feel the spirit now.
Yeah.
I walk into a room and turn right back. Something ain't right.
So it's something like that spirit of discernment, huh?
I'm telling you. So, you know, I might can't see you, but I'll be like, I ain't even hungry. I ain't gonna eat in here, so I ain't right. You know, so anyway. All right, CJ. Well, good talking to you.
Hey, you too. Like I say, good luck with your interviews and everything and your endeavors. And I touch bases with you whenever this gonna go out.
All right, sounds good. Happy holidays.
Hey, you too. All right, you too. All right.
Bye-bye.